When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. In our last episode, we stepped a little toe into the Gerudo section. Didn't experience any of the heat yet. We were still in the cold mountain peaks of that, which... does anybody remember if those were cold in Breath of the Wild? If that area was still a cold area? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was very annoying to be like, I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm hot. I'm cold.
Right.
Same hat. Now in reverse. I'm cold. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm hot.
There wasn't anything necessarily of interest outside of shrines in that area in Breath of the Wild 2, right? Like,
not a whole lot. It was originally my spot for hunting Farouche parts.
Well, I take that back. That's where the Yiga clan was. So, yeah that was actually...
Well, I mean, they're, yeah, there's still area. That, too. Like, in the lowlands. Yeah.
Yes. But we are now going to step foot in the actual desert here. We can start with the...
What is everyone wearing on your first desert exhibition?
You know what? Let's do a fashion check again. I want to know... Let's see. What are we sporting right now? What's our go-tos? BC, what are you rocking right now?
I wear the stealth pants all the time, just because...
Which ones?
They're the nicest pants I have.
Are these the Ganondorf stealth pants?
Yes, the Ganondorf stealth pants, if you will. But outside of that, I'm rocking about a nice new Gerudo like headdress sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So rocking that for the warm weather. And the glide suit. Always. Just always.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really wish I had the glide suit pants or the climbing pants, because I alternate between glide suit parts and that, like some mixture of that and either a cold or hot hat to go on top. So since I don't have the pants for it, I have to like, you know, take my bandana off or cycle that out somehow. And then maybe I'll use the barbarian leg wraps just to get a little extra power. If, you know, I need some pants, I guess.
I want there to be a big sun hat, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. You want, if you're only doing, let's help Brian out.
Big mushroom hat.
Only hats. We need special hats that do everything.
And oh, yeah.
One of those would be a big sun hat. Mm-hmm. Just a beanie. We need just like a beanie for the cold. Just a plain black beanie.
Mm-hmm. No, it's got to be green. You got to follow the rules. It has to be a green beanie.
It could be any color. We are in a world where the green doesn't mean
green beanie.
As much as
the
it
green
used to.
Don't
You're
mean.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. It needs to be a sky blue beanie with white detailing on it.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Okay. There. I am rocking the Desert Vo headband also, you know, in anticipation of the hot. I'm also
winning
rocking,
Gerudo.
Right, yeah. I'm also rocking the Zonite waist guard currently.
Ooh,
I don't have that. I need that.
The trousers of the hero. So I'm ready for the sunshine world.
Okay.
What does the Zonite waist guard do?
The Zonite waist guard. When you are using a Zonite device, it makes the battery deplete slower.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Useful.
Extra battery life.
That's nice.
Yeah. On that note, my go-to, so it's like, you know, you're hopping around from different things, but like when I'm talking about what my default is right now, it doesn't look great, but it's very effective. I have the Zonite headdress for the top, but then I'm wearing Soldier's Greaves and the Soldier Armor, because those are leveled up and they're like the highest defense. Where even my, and the reason I go to my Zonite helm is because it is, let's see, it has a defense of 12 right now just on that. And so yeah. It's just like that's my highest headgear. So that's been my outfit, my default outfit.
Now if I'm down in the depths, I have I've got a very nice hat that I have found that is made out of stone. To go along with my gloom resistant shirt, which I've gotten from talking to guys who want pose. And so, mm-hmm. But that's the only part of that outfit I've been able to get because I haven't talked to enough of those guys.
Have y'all been still looking for more brethren? Because I kind of gave up the hunt because I was like, I don't know if there's going to be anything I necessarily want. I wasn't too impressed with the gloom shirt, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to collect all the outfit pieces. That's one of my small goals for this, and so I've been spending the pose to tell me where they are.
Tell you if you can pay them to tell you where they are.
The one in Lookout Landing, you can pay him 100 pose, and he'll tell you the location of one of his brethren.
Okay, because I think
he's a snitch, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
From what I know, I think we only have access to a handful of them. I don't know about these two new areas, but
as far as I know, I haven't found one down there, but I could pay for it and get it. But I have four right now.
That sounds right.
And yeah, I'm after this, I'm going to go back and see how much, because it charges more every single time.
Right.
And so I want to go ahead and find that and get the next piece.
So I
forget some more.
I went ahead and unlocked all the brethren. I know where they are. I know where they are. I've been there. I went on my little bike because I was just like, I don't care about anything else. I just want to know where the brethren is. So I would fly to where the brethren is, unlock that light route. And then talk to the bargainer statue and beat it.
And then bounce.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm not exploring anything.
Kind of what I did with the Kala. Yeah. Just like jump in, grab my travel sensor. Thank you. Bye.
Everything
grab
is.
Grab my shirt. Get out.
Everything is dark. We're not looking. We know nothing. Mm-hmm. We have seen bargainer statue. That's it. And those, there is one that I found who can't help me. He can't help me.
Intriguing.
He gave me, I talked to him, he gave me a separate quest, and that was it. And I was like, okay, we'll do that later, because we haven't unlocked that area yet. Ha ha.
But yeah, okay. I noticed we found one underneath the Spring of Wisdom. Mm-hmm. So I take it that meant that there's one under the Spring of Power and the Spring of Courage,
but fair.
We can't go there yet. So they are in So
we'll do another. We'll do another fashion check and we can talk about the bargainers then too, since their whole thing is selling fashions.
What weapons are all of y'all using right now?
Bad ones. Bow. I have unlocked all of, because of my Korok hunting, my excessive Korok hunting, I've unlocked I've maxed out the amount of slots that I can have.
How many weapons can you have total?
You can have attacking weapons. You can have,
it would be 25, right?
It's three complete rows of five and one row of four.
What's the row of four? 19. So it's just.
Yeah, it's just four slots on the bottom.
So it's 19?
Yeah, 19.
That's it?
That's what?
Why?
I think it's because, so my Hestu is still hanging out in Lookout Landing, and he keeps saying some stuff sometimes. Well, I'll go up to him and he's like, he'll like look at the horses, he'll look at like some other stuff, and then he'll be like, I miss the forest. But he won't tell me about what's up in Korok Forest or why he won't leave. So I think there's something going on there.
God, I can't wait to go to the forest.
And I think probably I'll be able to get some more slots after
whatever
is going on there. But right now, 19 is the maximum for weapons.
Yeah, because I think you needed half of them-ish. Mm-hmm. in Breath of the Wild, and how many did you spend, do you think, if there's 900 total?
If there's 900 total, and I currently have 12 in my inventory, and I've unlocked all the available slots.
Yeah.
And I've, let's see how many, hang on, let me see how many guys I've got.
I'm teleporting really quick
to see how many Koroks I've rescued. I have rescued 398. I have 398 Korok seeds.
Okay. How do you know how many you've gotten?
It tells me when you teleport on the loading screen.
Ah.
All right. I'm gonna teleport just for fun, just because I need to see.
Okay.
I need a comparison because that's ridiculous.
I'm not gonna get there. I have a.
I know you're using a map and you're doing all that. You're acknowledging the borders. So I appreciate that.
I'm acknowledging the borders. I'm not getting anything that's not in an area that we aren't actively exploring.
130 for me.
Huh?
130 for me.
130. Mm-hmm. Not that many.
You have three times as many as I have.
One other thing about
I'm not
going
to talk about how many I have compared to
17.
I don't. Hey, don't worry. I don't
more
have
than
that many BC.
For sure.
I can't check because I'm in the desert and it's all staticky. But I don't feel like messing with it right now. Actually, I could warp. Never mind. I don't.
Yeah,
like
you just warp.
Right.
Anyway,
I just don't want to leave. I don't want to leave that area. One more thing about outfits, the Radiant suit, I believe, disguises you from a guy we'll be seeing coming up, a new enemy type we have in this episode,
as well as
bone weapon proficiency. So, yeah.
The Radiant suit.
If you have the whole set on, which it's also just a great set to wear.
Is that the Luchador suit?
Yes.
Oh, that you can buy in Kakariko. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't have that. It was too expensive.
It was very.
Yeah. Let's start by talking about that. So when we get in the desert, I went into some cave in there. You know, I was shrine hopping, and
we should talk about the bazaar first, right?
Well, we'll get there. Well, because that's story.
Okay, fair.
Because we aren't like again. You can. I found the cherry blossom tree. I lit up all the caves. I marked the caves. And then I went cave hopping for a little while just to, like, clear out some stuff before I was like, okay, let's get to the story stuff. I think we'll talk story stuff like
that. Wait, is that what those trees do?
Yeah, we talked about that.
I also haven't interacted with the trees.
So we talked about, like, in the first area in the forest that there was a thing you could find. I've been marking those cherry blossom trees, assuming that they were Korok things, and not going to them. And I was like, I'll come back later.
Hey, you want something that's going to take up another dozen hours? go donate some fruit to that tree, and then it'll tell you where all the caves are in a certain region, and then you can mark those and go cave hunting.
I've only done it in a couple of them, but yeah, that's... I definitely mark them when I see them. Like, I'll come back whenever I want a cave day.
My general play style is go down in the depths, get the light roots, because those are like the easy things for me to figure out. Mark the shrines above that.
That is very effective in this area. That is probably the best way to go about finding shrines in the desert.
Yeah. And then also marking caves and cave hopping.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, I still haven't done the things, like, I know what the bubble gems are used for. I haven't touched any of that yet because we haven't technically gotten to that region. So I haven't touched any of that stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering. They tell us where the person who wants the bubble gems is, but...
General idea of where to find him, and he's outside of a
stable.
That's right,
stable.
So
it's real close to where the first Great Fairy was.
Yeah, he was there while I was doing the first Great Fairy, and so I was like, I'll do this while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time I ran into him, he was in a region we were actively exploring. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this now too.
Okay,
I ran into him in the snow, in the tundra.
We'll talk about them in like two more episodes.
Yeah.
We'll handle it. We'll get there.
We can do it when we do our next fashion check. How does that sound?
It's, yes, that is true. You can do that. Not that that outfit is really worth anything.
Anyway. Gibdos.
Yeah.
Just desert's lousy with Gibdos.
Gibdos, yeah. Guys, a piece of your mind.
A piece of this fire fruit.
Yeah, oh, Tegan, why? Easy trick.
These guys.
Somebody came into my chat and was like, you better give those guys a real talking to with that sword. And I was like, oh my God, I'm using that forever.
No.
That's really good. I'm upset that these are Gibdo or named such as such because they're not huggable mummies.
Right.
They're just skeleton dudes.
Well,
they're
so
not re-deads. They're not like undead zombie guys. They're just skeleton dudes.
They have the attributes of the Gibdo though, where they have sort of an outer shield thing.
Yeah.
On them that would be like the mummy wraps before that you can deal with fire or I believe
or you can just
fire or electric
damage. Oh yeah, electric. Yeah. In fact,
well, not yet.
Dazzle fruit. But,
oh yeah, you get some dazzle fruit on your arrows or something.
Because
like
electric will.
Have you just
chain.
Thrown a dazzle fruit though? It doesn't do anything.
Oh,
it just,
yeah.
It literally is just like, poof. It's almost like confetti, where they're just like, yay, happy birthday.
No, the electric fruit will chain a couple of them if they're close, but like the dazzle fruit will, yeah, it's a flashbang. So it'll hit anyone in the area. And even if it doesn't hurt them, they're now in their stun state.
I think the reason that the electric fruit chain... specifically is because several of them have just weapons sticking out of them, and those weapons are metallic, and so it's like acting like a lightning rod.
That's right. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
When I saw the first one, I saw it get up off the ground, and I hit it once, or I think I shot it with an arrow, and I was like, that didn't do anything, and I hit it once, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this a redead? is this a redead? And I like freaked out trying different stuff, and eventually like I knocked it down, and I was like, oh, I think maybe I just have to rip the sword out of it and that kills it, and that didn't do anything, and I was full on freaking out until I hit it with fire.
Oh no.
Hit it with fire. I didn't try fire. I didn't think about that. I guess because, you know, it is funny the first time you see him, because I jumped in here and fully expecting to get yelled at, or because no one remembers who I am in this game,
mm-hmm.
and just ghost town, but shot him right in the face and get the very satisfying ching, and nothing, just like three headshots of nothing, and like, all right, let's think of I just thought like these guys are dark. Evil, so I'll try light, and pulled out my dazzle fruit, and that I figured I didn't try anything else for a long time. I figured that was the only thing that worked.
Smart.
They and we can, there's some more stuff later with it. Just to introduce the Gibdos though, I do want to mention one of the cave, like I found some cool caves in here, man.
Okay.
There's one that is just full of bombable stones. Like, the whole thing, you have to uncover the whole thing. You have to dig through all of it. And I've been using my floating cannon Zonai tool, mm-hmm. where I just, like, let that go and then just aim it and let it float. And it just, like, is just blasting through this stuff.
So lay down the floating cannon specs. What is your amazing floating cannon do? How do we
simple
do
ingredients? Anyone can make it. It's it's just one of those floating green blocks.
Uh-huh.
You know, that you can move, and if you activate it, it'll just stay in one spot. and you stick a cannon on it.
Okay.
And then, like, you let it, you hit it and let it go, and then use your ultra hand to grab it and then twist it, aim it where you want to go, and then you can just let it go. And especially if it's like you have a cavern that is like, you know, a tunnel that is going deep down full of rocks, you just let it sit there. And there's also, yeah, we haven't talked about this, there's different levels of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are.
There are ones that I thought you couldn't break at all. There's black rock that I was like, I need something else to do it. No, you just need to keep
just
hitting it.
Just break your weapons.
And this is good for that because you just set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Say it with me, everybody. Set it and forget it.
Bam.
It's, yeah,
bang.
So that one's really good for it that you just, but again, if you're, here's the problem. Okay, two scenarios that are hilarious with this, though. One, if you're in a small cave and you let it go, you need to run in dirt in between blasts because their blast radius will knock you out. Also,
yeah,
the cannons that they fire, there is a drop to them. If you're out in the open and it fires straight up in the air, that will come back down.
Oh, no.
There is that time I was like, all right, let's go. Let's get this going. All right, set, boom. And I was like, what happened? And it's because I realized I just started raining bombs down on myself. So those are two things to worry about with it. But it only costs 9 zonite, which is good for if you're down in the zonite mines, because you can easily get, you know, 20 zonite from those things.
Yeah.
Anyway, problem is it's gonna blast stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it will launch things around. It is messy, but it is my favorite way to do it right now.
Yeah. The it would be nice if the little tracking mechanism tracked rock.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just set it in a room and it would spin around and look for rock, but it looks for bad guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that'd be good, too. Yeah. I wanted to mention one of these shrines, too, and I think this is connected with the cube. So we have another floating cube.
Yeah.
It's identical to... It's identical. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, really?
I'm kind of disappointed. Like, not identical in the maze layout and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the same steps.
It's just... When you find one, you quickly figure out, okay, this is where all of them are hidden, and so I will go look. Yeah, like the air one is cool because it is still quite a 3D puzzle, and so you've got to like, mm-hmm, look around for how you get through the areas, but once you find one, you know where the other three will be located.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. But one of the shrines that you unlock in there looks like a Rauru's blessing. But then when you walk up to it, the floor drops out on you. Maybe this is around that region, but maybe it's not one of those there. It looks, you get it and you're just like, oh, cool, Rauru's blessing. All right. And then you walk and you hit, you like get to a point and then it just falls down.
Junk.
And then there's a little puzzle for you to figure out. So I loved it. Like you get it tricked you. You've seen, especially if you've seen enough of these Rauru's blessing, you think
all right,
I did the thing. Now it's like, nope. This is a puzzle. Figure it out.
I used to run around all of them to make sure there was nothing hidden in the back every time. And now I just, nope, this is Rauru's blessing. Nothing's there.
I do need to point out, so at the top of this puzzle, though, in the floating one, there is this shrine-looking thing that you can't interact with. And I'm wondering, we're going to have something later on that's going to have something to do with these.
Ooh.
Because you can't read it. You can't, maybe I should have taken a picture of it. I bet there's something with that. But yeah,
maybe.
You couldn't do anything with those. And so I may go back and just take a picture.
Someone's looking for pictures.
Yeah.
Everybody's always looking for pictures. Make sure if you haven't been taking pictures of your enemies, please make sure you're taking pictures of your enemies. Don't spend the money to unlock all the whole Hyrule. Just do it yourself. It's so easy. They're right there.
And it's fun. It's like Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, you can get some goofy pictures of Gibdos, too. They're so funny. They're so funny.
When they go into skitter mode?
Yeah.
Also, what nightmare psychedelic were the developers on to come up with Moth Gibdos?
Yeah,
what
I
is
don't.
Yeah,
that?
Dude. Yeah, dude.
That's the creepiest thing to me.
The wings on the Moth Gibdos remind me of those moth things from Wind Waker, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Moth Mothala.
Yeah, Mothala. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified that this thing was going to start dropping like little tiny baby Gibdo that were going to like cling on to me.
It's going
to
happen now.
I was so afraid of that. And I was like, oh no, these things have to die immediately. But I don't know. I want to know what to do with these wings. They look so cool. I can't wait to see what I'm upgrading with them, you know?
Because I was trying to pay close attention to the Gibdos to be like, are they going to speed up at all? Are they always going to stay at this speed? Do I ever need to worry about a new state of Gibdo? And by the time I got comfortable and relaxed and was like, no, they don't do anything different, then one comes crawling around the corner and I was like, ah, no,
they drop,
I hate you.
They drop on all forms and they go,
they drop their bones are really strong.
They
drop their
swimming
rib cage.
In Gibdo bones at this point.
Yeah. Those are really good to put on arrows because they are they still break like bones, so you don't necessarily want to make a weapon that's just the Gibdo bone, like unless you want to make some big weapon that just is like one big smash and it's going to take out an enemy real quick.
You have radiant armor and you need bone proficiency.
No, right, exactly.
Yeah. But put them on those arrows and that'll give you some really strong arrows.
I was using them to upgrade my radiant armor.
Well, there's also that. You got to remember that too. I keep forgetting because I just throw so many materials on things, and then I was just like, "Let's go see what I can upgrade." Oh, nothing.
Yeah,
because I don't have any of the things I need.
Yeah, I've
turns
had that
out
problem
I have a hoarding problem. You know what? It turns out I keep forgetting that fuse is a thing that can happen, and so I'm just rocking these awful broken weapons the entire time, just being like, I need all these weapon slots because all these weapons are bad, and not once going like, oh, I should stick a moblin horn on this thing.
Tegan, how?
I may be stupid.
I'm like, every hour, I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and stop our adventure. I'm going to go ahead and sit crisscross applesauce on the ground here. I'm going to lay out some of my stuff, and we're going to just, like, stick some things together. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here like, I don't know. If it can't fit on an arrow, I don't know what to do with it.
I mean, especially in the depths, at least there's uncorrupted weapons down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can play with those.
I get any of those ones. If they got any of that, like, taint on there, I'm just like, no. Nah. Not gonna mess
I hang out in the depths so much that I usually have some things to choose from.
Sometimes
I'll drop one of my weapons just to open the chest and get it out of there, mm-hmm. so my thing stops beeping too. Where I'm like, fine, but anyway, I'm throwing this away. I don't want this junk.
Sometimes I get untainted weapons from the amiibos, and that's been really nice.
Right,
I'm always like, aha, a weapon that
get
just
some good stuff.
Does 10 instead of 6, you know? Yeah, I'm
Ganondorf sword.
Great. I may be stupid.
No, you're not.
There's so many, like, I have so many black bokoblin horns that I'm just like, this is my standard weapon now. Like, something breaks, throw a black bokoblin horn on it. Like,
I had a ton of them, and then the other day, like now I'm down to 7. And I was like, what happened? Ah, great fairy, of course.
Right.
I have to go kill more black moblins.
Tegan, how you dealing with them tumbleweeds?
What do we have to do with those?
To collect any, so there's
I saw the tumbleweed, and I was immediately like, ah, I don't have how am I going to get it? And then
where's my net?
I literally was chasing it, and I would slash, and as I was slashing, it would roll away. So I'm still not having a lot of success with tumbleweeds. I got 3 that, like, clumped up against a fallen piece of, you know, rock thing, and I was like, perfect! And I slashed, and I hit one, and the other 2 dislodged from the swing of my sword and just blew away.
Yeah, so far it's they just look mess. Like... They're just set dressing.
They're just flavor text.
Sometimes they have stuff in them.
What?
I got a piece of fruit out of one of them. I got a rupee out of another one that I managed to hit on accident.
Like, was it worth it, though, Tegan?
The satisfaction of watching the thing explode? Yes, it was.
Okay, fair.
And a nice rupee.
And a rupee, yeah. I can send that to the Great Fairy. She can fix my stuff.
Any shrines or caves stand out to anybody here before we take a break and then talk about the story?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, I enjoy hanging out in the depths. Like, said before, like, actually having a car works here, mm-hmm. For the most part. So, yeah, I ran into our old friend.
We're not talking about that yet.
Okay.
We'll get there.
That's why I said any shrines or caves. I said any shrines or caves.
Oh, okay. Shrines or caves. Okay. Yeah, no.
There was one shrine that I went to that was just covered in sand, like moving sand that you couldn't walk on for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they wanted me to do, but I did big bridge. Like, I just connected everything and made really long bridge to everything.
Is that the one with the hovercraft?
They have a few hovercrafts. I eventually figured
out. Or at least I built a hovercraft or something.
No, this one has like multiple hovercrafts laying around.
Ah.
Okay.
But at one point when I figured, I was like, okay, I did like everything in this area. What am I supposed to do? And then I climb up this thing and you hit a switch and it launches the ball to the other side of the map. And I was like, oh, that's what they wanted me to do. Wait, I'm just going to reverse this and grab that ball. Okay, there we go. Anyway,
I watched
they were like,
it launch
they wanted-
and I went, no. Rewind.
That's the wrong.
Absolutely
I'm not going to do all that. What are you
wrong
talking
answer.
I feel bad. Like, I want to know. So, listening to other podcasts and hearing people talk about some of the shrines, every once in a while I hear someone talk about them having, like, being stuck in a shrine for, like, an hour. Mm-hmm. And not to toot my own horn, I haven't had anything close to that in these things. And it's like, part of me wants to know, like, am I just doing a thing that is just breaking what's intended? For a lot of times, which is possible.
I think the only times I've gotten stuck in shrines for like a significant period of time is if I'm playing at like 11:30 at night and I'm in bed and I'm like, I don't understand how the shrine works. And then I wake up in the morning and it's like, I was very tired.
Yeah.
It turns out I needed a nap.
Yeah, I don't.
There's just
a
button that says open shrine. That's all you have to do is push this button.
The only shrine I've gotten really stuck in was that one with the waterways that I was like, it's been 40 minutes. Why can't I get this ball across? But like, that was the only one. Now I I'd seen that shrine now, I don't think it would have taken me nearly as much time because like my arsenal of Zonai devices is like larger. So I would have had the tools on hand to fashion what I wanted to do anyway, regardless of like the shrine's intent. I gotta say, I don't know that I like the Zonai devices. There are, for me, too many of them. I keep forgetting what stuff does. And I can't, like, I feel like I also don't have enough, like, time to play with them, if that makes sense. I'm not, like, just popping them out and seeing what they do, because I'm like, what if I need this later?
I feel that way, and in that, like, eventually I'll get to a spot where, like, in 200 hours where I understand all of them and I've watched a lot of YouTube videos and stuff.
I think there are some that are kind of core and foundational. Like, all the ones that we got toward the beginning make perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. And there are a few where it's like, I've only seen them once, or they don't show up in the gachapons very often. So it's just like, I don't have enough time or enough situations to experiment with them. And then some of them are like, you don't see them often, but they're very straightforward. It took me a while to get the balancing ones, the ones that are like are always upright.
The
and like once wobbles? I got it, I was like, oh, okay, this is sick. But before I was like, all right, do I just use these to make sure things don't like tip over? Like, what do these do?
Yeah, what does this
it's
do?
It's a more advanced tool for sure.
Yeah,
it's ballast.
My favorite has been triple spring. Like, that's the thing is, I will go up to the Skylands to where I know it's going to be giving me springs, and I just load up on those. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just say, okay, I've got this one saved. Drop three springs, auto build for me real quick, jump on there. It's going to launch me all the way up in the sky where I'm like, I don't have to worry about climbing anymore in this game. Mm-hmm. Like any situation where I'm like, I need to get up somewhere. Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and just get some springs down real quick. Mm-hmm.
So we talked in the last episode about when you were talking about the cannon that you made, right?
Yes.
The rock cannon. Yes. Okay. Square, gummy fruit square floaty block. Yeah. I've never interacted with that thing.
Like, you don't
like
have
in
any?
A shrine.
I have some. I think I used them in a shrine once, like 40 hours ago. And so I'm just like, what is this? Every time it comes out of a gacha, I'm just like, what is this and how do I use it? And so it doesn't exist to me.
I would use it in like a Gliok fight as a or a hands fight if there's nothing to jump off of to start bullet time.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. So I could just shoot straight up into it and then hop off.
Wild. Okay, yeah. We're gonna see as we go through this episode in particular why that was such a problem for me, being like, what is this gummy square? How do I use it?
Wow. Yeah, I was like, how did Tegan finish this episode if she didn't know how those things worked? Because I don't know. I felt like those were fairly intuitive, that I was like, oh, here's a thing. I'm going to hit it. This is what it does.
We'll get to it. I never use these in this section. What are you talking about?
I'm with you, Jeremy. I don't know what's happening.
We need to take a break. When we get back, we will talk about the depths in the story, including what y'all two are talking about. We are back. Let's go ahead and hop down in the depths, because there are a couple Yiga-related quests in here. So last time we fought Master Koga, we unlocked a new Zonai forge area that gave us access to a couple of shops, like the shops that you would use to trade in your charges.
A lot more material.
And I want to say, did that one have the thing where you can make a battery? Or was that literally just that? Like, okay. Here's jumping ahead on this, though. We're going to unlock two more of those that are just the same. And it's like, I thought there was going to be more for us to do in these little things that we unlock. Like, I thought there was going to be, like, I don't know, just more.
New shop.
I thought there was going to be more. But it's just another shop of that, which I guess it's like, if you want to trade all your stuff in, they're going to run out of material, so you hop to the other one and buy all their stock too, I guess.
Right.
But no, if we go further southwest, that's what we were told, that's where Koga went to, we can run into him twice. The first one, it's like we get there. Yeah. Well, we don't run into Koga the first time, right? We deal with a squad of Yiga.
I think I did. Because, I hopped down one of the chasms around here and hit the statue system of directions, and so followed it over to Koga. Mm-hmm. I think I walked out of the labyrinth, and there were statues there, and I was like, cool, I'm going this way.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the statue. Click. Don't forget.
I did.
Good.
I didn't.
I forgot.
Did you mean I did forget? Yeah, Brian.
I did forget.
When we finish these off, like, it's fun fighting Koga, but also it's real easy. Like, I mean, they're just too easy. I feel like, it used to be a little bit more challenging when they were on the ground all the time. And when we do have to fight a swarm of them, I thought this was a little bit more challenging because they're just like appearing all around you and you have to be like, all right, am I going to hit you here? Am I going to do this? Or you could just go bullet time and hit them with arrows or something. Mm-hmm. Like, Brian, what was your strategy on this?
I just killed them.
Well, that's easy. The idea. That's the general
arrow, eyeball arrow, they dead. For the most part. And if not, I'll hit them with a spear and they go down. You don't even need anything that tough. They do not take much. Which, I think that the big dudes in the last game would just wreck you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've come across one of those guys so far, and that's it.
Yeah. And even the ones I've fought, like, they're not really. They don't take much more hits.
Tegan, how are you faring?
I'm doing
with Yiga.
I'm doing pretty okay. The ones in the machines are stupid, which is I love that in an enemy. And I just, like, I'll see them from a distance, and I'll come in with my air bike, and I'll stop controlling it, and I'll bullet time, and I'll arrow it, and then I'll just grab my bike again and keep going.
Yeah.
Well, because they're just...
Their whole machine falls down. I land nearby. I pick up my bananas. having a great time. I have so many bananas. I hope I can make a banana pie, honestly.
I mean, you probably can.
I can make a cheesecake. I would like to make a banana pie.
Maybe a banana nut bread would be preferable.
Ooh, a loaf.
I'm gonna give it a shot, banana loaf.
Ooh, banana bread. Mmm, some toasted banana bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Anyway.
we have all the ingredients.
Throw some chickaloo nuts on top. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still just love the Yiga where they're just like, all right, we built all these contraptions. He'll never do. Oh, no. Shooting me in the head. My only weakness. How did you know?
Hitting me once while I was in the air. My only weakness. It's like if they're out of the machine and they're like the ones that are like above ground who are still in disguise, they're still like harder to fight. But all the ones in the depths
disappear.
Yeah. And all the ones in the depths are just like, I'm going to attack you with my flying machine. Wide turn of flying machine. And meanwhile, I'm just like, boom.
Pew, pew. It's like a World War One like thing where it's like, oh, maybe we should redesign these tanks so it's not super easy to kill the person driving them. Or
biplane. Well, why don't we just look? We're just gonna shoot through the propeller and it'll be all right.
Maybe we shouldn't use the cameras that you have to look, stand up, and look down into because like, it doesn't work for trench warfare.
Oh man. Yeah, so we do find Koga. He is trying to figure out how to hit one of these switches. He's just like, I saw you do it. You put your hand on it. I put my hand on it. It's not working. Why not?
And he had two friends flying around outside that I shot and murdered before I ever saw him.
Yeah, like you could completely miss him.
I almost did.
Yeah, because it's not even necessarily like a big deal. You just see this little red blob over in the corner that if you get near it, you'll get a cutscene started.
Hey, he's a magnificent red blob.
Well, I wasn't saying it was bad. I'm just saying, you know, on the draw distance for the Nintendo Switch is a little bit blobby.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we get a fight with him that he's using more flying machines. At some point, he blocks himself up that I got my springs out. I think they drop a spring actually in this battlefield, for you to just jump up there and hit them. And it was.
I got my my like semi what I don't know, the big rig, the trailer, the what do you call it, the cab? I don't know. I've got this vehicle that I stole from a Yiga. I was sneaking up on him. Like, oh, I just need to get close enough to hit him with the arrow. And I was like, is that cannon tracking? His cannon is tracking me. Oh, crap. Because it was absolutely. Yeah. So I killed that guy, found a couple headlights, and stuck two more onto it so that it showed up into my my history. And then I favorited that because it will just track dudes and shoot at them. It's hilarious. So, yeah, I pulled that out. And sort of just drove around the arena, and when he got close, it would just take him out.
Oh my god.
The final one, though,
battle bots.
I jumped off of the top of it and shot an electric arrow, which enough of the shock got past his barrier and dropped him again. So
when we beat him, he does mention about like nobody wants to work nowadays. he does talk about how it's like they don't have enough people. I feel like they were building up a lot of Yiga followers in Breath of the Wild. Now we're either killing them or they're losing faith. It could be both too. So
it's just getting, you know, once now Link knows about the underground, it's just, yeah, he's taking over.
Oh
their
man,
whole,
it's not cool anymore. Link's man. Here.
Remember where you could work like, underground and not get murdered? That was tight.
Remember
when the underground was underground?
Dark and mysterious down here. We had to use like these cool machines with lights on them. Link's just
now
running
all the lights
around.
Are on.
Yeah, he's running around turning lights off. It's ruining it for the night shift workers, man.
I hate it, man. I liked the perpetual night. You know, it's like when like a new predator moves into an area that like didn't evolve in, and it's just like, oh, I can kill everything. It's like that. Link is that.
I literally was only imagining the predator as you were describing.
Right.
I was like,
right.
You know when the predator moves into your town?
Yeah. Right.
He's not used to the
very similar.
Here.
I have the feeling that we could stick Link in any other video game and he would just absolutely wipe the floor with everything. Link is the predator in this situation. Like,
yeah. It's like introducing a cat to New Zealand or something.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That would just be the end of it.
Koga says that he's moving on. He's going to the east side of the map now. So we'll run into him later. We activate another, I don't know what you, I mean, Forge, I guess. Like, Forge is used for to describe a few different places in this game.
We activate a fjord, actually, this time.
A fjord, yes. it helps us get along here. But, no, it's just identical to the previous ones. Like, we get a new blueprint for, like, the little, like, sled thing.
Yeah.
Little sled cart thing, which is nice, especially in the sand. In the sand. I love that thing in the sand, man. It's
but I already
so
had
good.
One.
I had made, like, just, like, sled with a fan on it, which is great, except when, like, the sand is slightly angled and you put it down and it just, like, slides away.
Yeah.
There's so many times I had to rewind the sled to get it back.
There's a shrine where they send sleds at you, and I backflipped onto one and then did the rewind, and I was like, yeah, I know. I play video games.
but we will go ahead and head back up to the desert and go check on the Gerudo. So I know the game is going to set things up for you to be like, because you can find near the, like, I don't know, northwest corner of the desert, there's the place that you did a quest before about moving an ice block. And if you go down into there, it's melted. And you can do a little thing for them real quick to make some ice. And then they will go and tell you, oh, yeah, you should go to the Gerudo thing. Actually, you're not going to be able to because you're a guy. So maybe you should go to this bazaar instead that's by the oasis.
Yeah.
So that just sort of guides you of where you're supposed to go there.
Oh, the bazaar was just the first thing I found.
Yeah, or you could just play this game like I do, and you're just hopping around too, and occasionally you're just like, time to drop into this one area. Okay, what's going on?
Well, I saw that the shrine near Gerudo Town was above the town, and I was like, oh, well then I'll drop in, activate that shrine. They won't yell at me for that, right? And then after that, I jumped into town to see if they would yell at me, and there was no one there.
Right. So if you go to the bazaar, you can talk to some people, but that doesn't necessarily, like, activate the quest still, because they're still just, like, talking about going to Gerudo Town.
So, yeah, people have run into the storm, and there's little side quests you can pick up, but
yeah. You get to meet, like, these guys who are, like, the guardsmen for the bazaar, who they really just want to be the first merchants to, you know, shop in or sell to Gerudo Town that are dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, they just want to meet hot Gerudo.
They're like, we found this cool ball.
Oh, okay.
I
haven't done the ball.
We know someone's going to want to buy this in Gerudo Town. And I'm just like, why is it here? That's not where this was before.
Like, it's a pain to lug around, but someone's going to want it.
I'm like, I want it right now.
I stopped by there and I picked up the headdress because I was like, okay, I gotta get my cross dressing going right now. Like, right, that was where my mind went to.
Well, that's the dude hat headdress.
Yeah. It is, but that's where my mind was like, I can't go into Gerudo Town until I get my outfit.
Till I find the.
So I went to the bazaar to start whatever quest was gonna be. Like in Breath of the Wild, that's where you started that stuff there. And so I thought it would be here. It's not, because as Brian said, you can kind of just go into Gerudo Town.
Yeah.
where before you wouldn't be able to get into the gates if you landed on the ground anywhere there, you would immediately
anywhere.
Be kicked out. But yeah, we go into there and there's Gibdos. They're swarming like it's a zombie or Gibdo invasion.
Oh no.
How did you guys make your way to the town?
That's what I was... Well, okay. I mean, I just flew overhead. Like, I just... Okay. That's my whole thing. Is I, like...
Yeah.
I walked.
I made a device, and I just flew.
I walked. I went, I went, it's that way. And there's, like, that little plume, that little, like, sand tornado. And I jumped up, and I went, okay. this way, and I just angled my person.
Those are so helpful.
I just angled Link,
yeah,
and I just walked straight to Gerudo Town. Like I was like, I will not go left, I will not go right. I immediately fell into a hole in the desert.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a chasm.
There's like a rift valley. Like,
yeah, there's like a rift. Oh!
Yeah.
BC, you so had talked about this chasm in the last episode and earlier in this episode.
It's not.
You were just talking about trying to find a chasm in the desert.
It's
right?
Not like a chasm into the depths. It's just like
no.
A rift in the ground.
Yeah. It's a rift valley, yeah.
And so, like, I didn't see that until we had to come back from Gerudo Town. So when I went there, I like used the plume, and then there's a spot where there's like, there's a structure that basically has a giant ramp. And there's a sled and a fan and a rocket there. So I just made like a sled rocket that shot me into the sky and then rode that next to Gerudo Town. But like coming back is when I found the rift and I just made a sled because I was like, oh, I'll just take this sled all the way back. And next thing I know, I'm falling into this pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
why?
No, I was just walking and I'm like, da 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 da. Oh, that's a weird building that's just jutting out of the whoop. And I just, like,
it's just gone.
Like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, just like, whoop, into the abyss. And I stand, I'm like, looking around, I'm like, okay, that wasn't too bad. I can just climb out of here. I turn around and there's like four Gibdo. And I was like, oh, problems.
I know I should have taken the left at Albuquerque.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, we do get to the Gerudo Town. I don't know if there's like multiple ways to necessarily. Actually, I mean, I know there's multiple ways to get into there. I guess. I went through sort of their sewer system.
Yes.
There is like again because we've been doing the well stuff. There is a place that would have had water flowing before. That if you go to it, it's just a hole down there. Mm-hmm. And you can find a river running through and someone is dropping notes in a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. I stumbled through a shop. There was like a crack in the floor in a shop that I think I had to move like a piece of floor or something to get down into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then was like in the sewer system.
BC, so, what about you?
So did you guys not talk to the dude on the roofs?
No.
The dude on the roofs?
Yeah, okay, so if you get to Gerudo Town, and you, like, if you, because I flew in over the wall, if you get to Gerudo Town, there's a guy standing on one of the roofs, and he says, hey, I, like, came here because I was, like, I got stuck in the storm, I was trying to find Gerudo Town, trying to find shelter, but now I'm here, and there's a ghost town, and the only thing I can hear is, like, all the voices coming from the well. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I need to find the well. But if you go to where the shelter is, like there's like right in the center of town, there's a big crack in the floor and like the stairwell that is clearly something. And I was like, oh, maybe this is the well. You can go to the Gerudo shelter. If you talk to the woman at the Gerudo shelter, she's like, you can stay in town because like we're all in the shelter, but you can't come in. Is what the guard tells you.
Yeah.
And so in the bazaar, when you buy the headdress, the lady's like, hey, I'll tell you a secret. If you buy my last headdress, there's a secret shop behind this other shop that you should know about. And so my thought was, oh, maybe that secret shop is where I need to go. And there's like a way to get into the the shelter. But really,
right.
If you wander around town, there's a little Gerudo girl that you can follow to that spot that Brian found. So like you find her, there's a little Gerudo girl out in the streets, and you talk to her. And if you talk to her, she's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be talking to Vo. And she like, I'm just going to explore a little bit more. And then she goes around the corner, and you follow her, and she's like, oh, Vo found me again. And she goes around the corner, and then you see her run into that room, and then you hear her push something off of something off of the trap door.
I did this in a completely different order than you guys. because after I fell in my little crevice and I ascended back out of it, I saw some random lightning strikes in the desert, and I went to investigate that before I even hit Gerudo Town. So I didn't have any of these problems of, like, it's a ghost town. Nobody's in the thing. I just was like, hi, friend. Let's go. And she said, you want to come in the shelter? And I said, sure. Okay. And I just got invited in immediately.
Yeah.
See, I went through the sewers, and then you can follow it where the, like, there's some stuff coming through, and then you come up from there, and then you pop up from the floor, and you're like, hey, what's up, Doc? And then, like, again, you're just being Bugs Bunny in this episode. And then all the Gerudos are just like, Avo, no, you can't be in here.
They don't throw you out.
No, they don't throw you out. That's the thing, is that then that starts the quest of going and finding Riju.
All these other ways into the shelter I found after I'd already been warmly invited to hang out in the shelter.
Yeah.
By my good friend.
Through the front door.
I received a warm invitation. Y'all snuck in like creepers.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, the kingdom is at stake. Okay.
What have you... Yeah, see, you stalked a child.
There might be another reason why you specifically were invited in and we weren't.
Well, look, the hero / creep of time is able to go wherever he wants, and like that's the thing, like Brian was saying, when you do appear here, we get this cutscene of them going, oh no, wait, actually we know this guy, he's the good guy, you know, there's not enough of him nowadays,
he's the one man who's okay, he's not like any man, every man, hey queen.
And so they're just like, yeah, it's fine, you can go look around, you can talk to people. And then they eventually mention about how Riju's not here. She's doing her training just up north of here. So if you want to go talk to her, that's where you can go.
Yeah.
We do go check up with Riju. She's talking. And then this is where we're like immediately introduced to her abilities, where she is trying to learn how to control her lightning attacks. And the way it works is that when she's going, it just creates this like almost seeming, it feels almost just like an endless growing pool around you.
Yeah.
That you just have to wait, and then you can fire an arrow, and you do this training with her. And wherever your arrow lands, that's going to strike lightning, which is really cool. Like being able to, that we're going to be able to control lightning in this, that's pretty awesome.
Riju is having so much trouble with it, though. I want to know how Urbosa was able to just snap and just like, that's where it went.
Well, because Urbosa's not trying to pinpoint an attack. Urbosa's was just like a small field that just hit everything. But this is like a large field, but a pinpointed strike. So Riju's trying to like take it to the next level.
Right. That, I think the theme is going to be that this new generation is improving on the old generation, right?
I like don't you think Tolan's is necessarily an improvement, but...
It's handy. I like it.
It's just a different direction than the previous one.
In a world where we can summon giant springs on command, it's probably an improvement.
Yeah, okay.
In a world where I can teleport up through the floor of an item...
There's when I was your age, we could only move vertically, and now you can move horizontally.
Yeah, there's just occasionally times where I'd be like, I just want to go up now, like right now, and I'll get some springs out.
I'll cook some pine cones.
Throw a pine cone in a fire, whatever.
Yeah.
So long, suckers.
After we figure that out with her, she goes back to the Gerudo town, and we go following her, and she's just like, yeah, there's this one plaque that I've been looking at. I want to talk to you about it, and let me read this to you. And it's our classic, make a triangle out of something. This time it's lights. It's a little confusing at first if you didn't explore a lot, where it says, like, when you are back to back with the throne. And if you didn't explore a lot, and maybe you didn't know, you forgot some things about this, where you're like, which throne? What are you talking about?
Riju's chair.
See, Riju's just sitting in it for me. I know where the throne is.
Some of the time. Some of the time, yes.
BC, you look so confused.
Did we do this before the defense?
Oh, right.
No,
yeah, you're right. I'm jumping ahead. Thank you.
We had to do the bazaar and the town, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They get alerted that Gibdos are attacking the town, right? Sorry about that.
Well, the bazaar first, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get told, go to the bazaar, you fight some things there. Then it turns into not quite tower defense. Back at Gerudo Town, where we're doing more of her attack.
Yeah, in the bazaar, they teach you not only if she hits the things with lightning, it'll like expose their weaknesses. So if you didn't know leading up to this, now you know. And the other thing they teach us is that if you hit the purple part of these sand mushrooms that the Gibdos
also
are
there are
out.
Sand mushrooms.
Yeah, also there are sand mushrooms. Surprise. But if you hit the purple part of these sand mushrooms with her lightning, they will just collapse upon themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to Gerudo Town, and then they have this whole thing about like, all right, we got to set things up. You go and talk to the commander and tell him how you want it done. And I'm just like, yeah, I trust you.
Do what you got. Going on, yeah.
Like, I love that they're all just so amped about now they understand how to fight the Gibdo, and so they're just like taping whatever they can to their weapons. It's like, yeah, I just taped a bunch of fire fruit to a knife. Let's go.
just jump into battle.
Yeah,
they're like, I got a wooden shield. I put a fire fruit on it. Perfect. And I'm like, no.
Yes. Where are you stationed? I will head there first.
Yeah. I'm going a different direction, actually.
And then, having been someone who 100%ed Age of Calamity, there's literally a mission in Gerudo Town where you're, you know, dealing with regions of things that you have to fight off and make sure that they don't swarm things.
Mm-hmm.
This was nothing. This was pre-tutorial kind of, like, I was like, there was all this buildup for it. And I was like, this is kind of boring, honestly. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wish the cannons hadn't been there, because I think they were the ones that were blowing the legs off of Gibdo and creating crawling ones.
So I think they all go into crawl mode when you kill the last tower
thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I didn't realize I never saw crawl mode until that point, because I was like,
right,
it seems like it's gonna be so cool to have you pick where like the different forces go and like you can build barricades, but I was like, oh, this, like Jeremy said, it ends up being kind of anticlimactic, and I was like, oh, there's so many levels to like go across the rooftops and everything. It's going to be great. And really, it was more confusing about like, oh, where do I find this last Gibdo that I need to kill? But as soon as I hit the last tower, it just shows them too. I watched like a swarm of them all like fall over and start sprinting. And I was like, oh, okay, this is where it gets real. And then they got stuck on geometry or like a tree I knocked over trying to run straight toward the shelter, and I was like, oh, okay.
See, you did some environmental strategery right there. You dropped a tree.
Well, yeah, it was funny to me, too, with this, because they're just like, they're attacking the west wall. And it's just like, the way they like chimed in on this, I was just like, that's not what the... You didn't make this kind of game on here. Why is it like this?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hold on. Let me climb up this wall so I can run across up here and then hop down and fight and then climb back up on this wall to get over to the other side. And like, yeah, I don't like a lot of Age of Calamity's like openness because of the kind of game Breath of the Wild is, but it works for Age of Calamity because you're just constantly crisscrossing a battlefield. Mm-hmm. So there's not a bunch of stuff that you have to climb over.
And you're also taking out, you know,
tons
of things.
Yeah, well, that too.
At a time.
It's been getting around.
Yeah, it was like, oh no, three Gibdos. And I'm just like, okay.
I'm like, really? Right. Three Gibdos? You're worried?
Hold on.
I'll be there in 2 seconds. Relax.
The moth dude.
That's what I wanted to be
like. The moth dudes. That was, I didn't see the moth dudes until I did this. And I was like, oh, they're never going to get to her. Like, even if they, like, I don't have to worry about this. And then I was like, how is she taking damage? And I turn around and there's some flying guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, This doesn't make any sense.
This House of the Dead dude comes from.
I was like, where is this from? Why didn't the cannon take it out? Oh my god.
Yeah.
But yes, we defeat them, and then that is when, you know, the Gerudos come out a little bit more. Riju goes up to her throne, and that's where they talk a bit more about, like, okay, well, we've got this stuff here. Let's figure out this puzzle to get to the temple.
And we hear...
Yes.
We hear a voice that reminds Riju of the... a mural downstairs in the shelter. And so they head down there. That's where we're shown.
Right.
I like the idea that the shelter existed the entire time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they built...
There's a couple, you know, even the castle shelter, too.
But they built stairs over it, so, like, no one would have known it was there, you know?
That's pretty good.
Just, like... And also, like, all these... Like, you can get into it with all the little, like, wells and stuff, but, like, all those wells before were full of water, so was the whole shelter just underwater before?
Well, if you think about the well, like, there's, like, that well area in the shelter. And mm-hmm. if you built a shelter underground, you would want access to flowing mm-hmm. water. So.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Also didn't mention, when we were doing the fight at the bazaar, at the end of it, we do see Zelda for a second.
Ah, yes.
And then they're just like, wait, is that Zelda? And then she's gone.
And Riju's like, it's okay. I'll see her back at town, because she's clearly going to town.
Right. After this, though, that is where we are then hinted at how to activate the temple, and that is through some light puzzles.
Yay! More mirrors.
Yeah, we are guided following the backside of the throne in one direction in the desert, and that takes us to this tower. When we activate it, it shoots some light out. It's got dirt. It's got rocks over the like mm-hmm. eye, this light source.
That's how that gets activated.
Yeah, you activate that one. That shoots some light. You follow the light, takes you to another tower. That one threw me off for a little bit because the switch is next to it, and there's just another little tower you have to go to find the switch to raise it up.
Okay, because mm-hmm. I found the crank.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But I didn't find a... Yeah, okay. So that's what
I mean.
It is.
That's what I mean. The last one... Now, this is where, before the break, you're talking about floating squares. Is that right?
Yeah.
There are some floating
boys.
Squares here.
Yeah.
What were you trying to do with them? I don't even know.
I just had them. They're in a thing in, like, a little pit underneath it. And I pulled them out. Yeah. And I'm looking at them. And I was like, all right, how do these work? And I put all, I lumped all the little sticks that I knew, I recognized from, like, the other crank. I'm like, oh, I'm going to need these to, like, put them on the right crank. Like, no big deal. So I put them all on a thing, and then I lifted the thing, and I let go of it, and it went right back down. And I went, I don't know how this works.
You gotta activate it.
You have to hit them. You have to hit all the Zonai devices.
All the Zonai devices I've ever interacted with, these gummy ones, have been already activated. I just had to move them. They were all activated before.
Well, yes.
So I'm looking at this like, how do I, what is it? What special do I have to, it should float. It's not floating.
Why no go juice?
Why no go juice? Where did the go juice go? And then someone in my chat was like, you have to hit it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I hit it. And then I was like, it's not floating. And then someone else was like, you have to lift it. And I was like, oh.
It just goes.
It's just, you have to put it, and then it stays where you put it. And I was like, oh, got it. Okay. And then I was like, now how do I get it all the way up? And I'm just like, my brain was so small. It was so tiny. The brain cells, they were not rubbing together. It was real bad.
If you were really that, like, worried about it, you could have just, like, summoned it to the top.
I summoned it?
Or you could have just, like, made it, gone up, and made it again.
Yeah, I didn't think about it, because I'm just dumb.
Yeah.
The brain was so small. I'm telling you, it was so tiny.
Tegan, it's cool. I'm right there with you. We've both been playing this game way too much, and yet we don't really know what to do with these Zonai devices.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Like, don't worry. Yeah.
It's like every single time someone has dumped, like, a Lego kit in front of me, and they're like, go! And I'm like... go where?
You've gotten space Legos in my Western Lego set.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with them. Thanks, I guess.
That's the Firefly set.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you've made the Firefly set.
Eventually, I figured it out, and I was like, oh, I'm just dumb. Never mind. That was... I had figured this out before, if I used this thing, seen it not activated in any space, I probably would have figured it out no problem. But because I've never summoned those little gummies myself, and I've only ever seen them where they were already activated in a spot and already floating, I just never thought about it.
Yeah.
I just assumed they were always float.
On.
Yeah. I didn't know they had an off state.
Well, hey, you got an aha moment. Those are great. You learned a new thing. It's great. A yahaha moment.
Tegan, I appreciate that you've been referring to them as like floating gummies. And even though they don't really look like gummies, we all have just accepted that that is what they are called now.
That is a watermelon starburst.
Yeah, it just looks like it's gummy.
What?
To me.
It's green. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Green. It's, green is sometimes, watermelon is sometimes coated in green.
It looks like
flavors.
It reminds me of like a green gusher. Like I expect if I like pushed on it, it would like squish, you know? It's just like a little gummy, I don't know.
It's never looked edible to me. So you're talking about this and I'm just like, y'all are hungry.
I haven't thought about gushers in a very long time.
I love gushers.
Sploosh.
Gushers want to sponsor this podcast. No, I'm kidding.
yeah, sure, absolutely.
That'd be the weirdest sponsorship. But I'll take it.
I'll take it.
The top of this tower, there is another crank up there that doesn't have any pieces. So I assume they want you to take those parts and like move them up to the top. I just dropped a staff and just stuck it on there. I was like, all right, there we go. Just gonna crank that myself.
I have my own spear for this.
I see. So I fought the puzzle and I didn't have to because I absolutely do carry around large wooden stick for specific occasions.
Well, yeah, like after the icicle sticking two things in the one thing, I was like, oh yeah, I have weapons. I have icicles at all times for things like this.
Because when this one tower lights up automatically, it's not a perfect triangle. It's a broken one, and you have to adjust it just a little bit to line them up. That starts a cutscene where a lightning antenna comes out from the middle. You go meet Riju there. You do her attack with it, and that summons the temple. We get a cutscene of the temple rising from the sand, covered in those glowing pink warts that we saw on the
covered
mushrooms.
In sand.
But that is where we're going to wrap this episode up. So in the next episode, we're going to go into the temple. I'm sure there's something that's going to we have to do before we get into there. That's what it looks like, at least. Get through the temple, finish it off, beat the boss, come on out. Go do some exploring after that. I think we should go back to Lookout Landing. I get the feeling there's going to be some updates on some things there. So do that. Go hit up some other towns. For the next episode, we'll hit up some towns that we've already been to. I get the feeling we're gonna get some new things on there. Maybe go back to Hateno, Kakariko, talk to some people there. Maybe they got some red dots.
Maybe
next
finish
to their,
that bridge there. Quest. That
if you haven't, do that too. Yeah,
you started and
forgot about. Bring your camera.
Bring your camera. Photograph everything. Otherwise, no one will know whatever happened.
Let me take a
pose
selfie
with it if you need to. Yes. Do all that, and then we'll be back here to talk about it on Chat of the Wild. When you lost out there, you're all alone.
My second clap is a little late because that mystery click sound is back. Hopefully you can't hear it on the microphone, but the mystery click is back.
The mystery click. That's what we get for recording in the middle of a sandstorm. Hey, everybody's chatting in the wild. We're
This is environmental.
This episode is sponsored by Darude.
Oh my god.